Hello everyone, it's Connie here and welcome to our second last live group coaching call. It is awesome to be here with you. There's this new little format on how I'm using live calls on the desktop. So it's a little tricky for me to see who's here and who's not, but if you are joining at any point, give me a hello. As you can see, my apartment's still lacking furniture. I was really hoping the background would have something in it before today's call. My sofa and my coffee table arrive next week, and then I'll need a TV unit, and then I'll be pretty much set up. Everything that you can't see on this side is actually really beautiful. My desk is all set up. I've got a beautiful set of plants and everything, but you guys can't see that. So it still looks a bit bare for you. All right, I have a wonderful set of questions. Thank you to everyone who has sent through their questions for the call. I'm looking forward to diving into them with you. As I said, this is our second last call, so really keep in mind moving forward over the next couple of weeks anything that you want me to cover in our final call, which will be in 2 weeks from now. But we are pretty much right at the end of the course, so. And it's beautiful to see as well, the questions that have come through are quite tied into some of the stuff I'm going to be covering with you in this week's class. The class coming out this week is about surrender and trust. And I've got a few questions. I'm just looking over on my screen. I've got them in front of me. I've got a few questions around that. So I might start there, actually. I might open up with the questions that are related to that. If you're joining live, say hello to me as you join. Otherwise, I'm just going to get started because I know a lot of you tend to watch the replays, so let's do it that way. All right, question. How do you trust the universe is supporting you? Lately, I've hit so much resistance, and what advice do you have around working through this and trusting that everything happens for you? And there's also a question about surrender, and I'm sort of just going to open up talking a little bit about trust and surrender because they're very linked and they're what we're talking about in this week's class. So understand that for the mind and for the ego, for it to feel a sense of trust, it needs to see. It needs to have proof and it needs to have evidence. It wants to see an indicator in a physical manifestation, something outside of itself, to show it that what it feels or knows or is wanting is going to happen. To the ego self, it can't believe something until it sees it. It needs proof all the time. So that's why trust is such a spiritual practice. And I apologize, I'm just realizing the lighting might click in and out a little bit here. We'll see how we go. That's why trust is such a spiritual practice. And that's why so much of what I teach in this course are spiritual principles around living, trusting in the unseen, trusting more in what you feel rather than what you see with your eyes. So if you want to live in a space of trust, if you want to be able to live in the unknown, you have to let go of your need to see external proof and evidence. And that's just not going to come. It's not a component of trust. The whole point of trust is you have to leap before the net appears. You have to take the action step before the money shows up. You have to have faith in what you feel rather than the evidence showing you that something's possible. You know, anyone who's invented anything in our life, and this is why Albert Einstein says, you know, about the power of imagination, why imagination is so important. Imagination allows you to dream up a possibility that you've never seen proof of before or evidence of before. That's how people innovate. That's how anyone creates something new in their life. If everyone was only doing things that they had proof of, nothing new would ever be created. We wouldn't be flying in planes. We wouldn't have electricity. So when we say, how do we trust? Well, first of all, we can't wait for any external proof or evidence in order to feel trust. Trust is a feeling. Trust is a feeling that comes from living in alignment and connection with your intuition and your inner knowing. So if we're having issues around trust, for me, it's an issue of How connected are you to your true self at the moment? Whenever I can't find the energy of trust, it's because it's a sign to me that I'm more identified with my ego self than I am with my intuition. It's a sign that I need to come back into my spiritual practice more. I need to spend more time with my inner guidance in journaling, asking questions, receiving wisdom from a higher source, tuning into how I feel. So for me, whenever I'm in those big periods of unknown where I can't understand why anything is happening, it is my time to actually take my attention off the external. So actually block off the external world, go more, focus more on your inner practices that help you feel your inner knowing, that help you feel your inner voice. That's what you need during big times of uncertainty. And how do we trust? I mean, the how-to, and I say this in the class this week, it's very difficult to put a how-to around such an intangible, invisible process, around something that, thanks, Pat, I'm really glad that's resonating. It's very difficult to put a framework around something that's so feeling-based, you know? And that's why I say to you guys, and that's why I'm teaching surrender and trust right at the end, because I need you to have your inner connection. I need you to have your relationship with your intuition before you can possibly practice any of these principles. So again, how do we trust that everything is happening for us? When you really get to know your higher self, your intuition, you can feel how much that part of you loves you. You can feel why you have come into this lifetime. You can feel, and you can remember that you are the creator of everything. So there's twofold there. It's look at, if something's not manifesting and flowing, really look at what must be out of alignment in my energy and my thinking. If I'm the creator of my world, how am I creating blocks, roadblocks? You know, how am I interfering with or not living in a state of trust and knowing? So that might be actually your work, is to what can you do energetically to soothe your own vibration so that you are in more of the state of allowing. Maybe you just take your attention off the problem, you know, off the thing that you think needs to be resolved, and you focus more just on feeling good. That's what the teachings of Abraham Hicks, listen to some of their work. They're like, just feel good. You know, if you're having struggles around money, around relationships, stop focusing on it. Just focus on feeling good. When you do, you click into a state of non-resistance and you actually come back into alignment with the flow. So I hope that's supportive for you. That was quite a broad question, so I hope that answer is somehow supported you, but you will find trust just through having a very strong relationship with your inner self and taking your attention off the external world and needing proof. Another question here around surrender, which is a similar kind of thing. She's saying, you know, how do we surrender? What is the secret to surrender? Mentally, we can understand surrender, but emotionally, how do we actually practice it? And this is similar to what I mentioned in the class this week, similar to what I just touched on. How do we put a how-to process around something that's so personal and somewhat messy and intangible as surrender? And I was thinking about when I had to go through my biggest process of surrender this year when my father passed away, and also other big periods of surrender when I've lost relationships. And I think the woman who's asked this has gone through a relationship ending from what I know. And what I was thinking about was, I know when my father passed away, I wanted a process. I wanted a how-to, because I was literally flailing in this uncharted territory of extreme emotion and chaos. And the mind wants to put a framework around that, because it helps it feel safe and back in control. Surrender is a very out of control feeling. Vulnerability is a very out of control feeling. And so my guidance is, you have to let yourself be out of control. You have to let yourself fully go with whatever is presenting rather than trying to understand it and think about it. So the secret to surrender is surrendering to whatever is presenting in that moment, whatever you are feeling. The way that I moved through my father's passing was mentally I was thinking, you know, so how long does grieving go on for? Do I grieve for 2 weeks and then I go back to work? When will I be normal again? When will I be able to talk about this without bursting into tears? When can I do a podcast about it? That's what my head was trying to make sense of it. My body was saying, Connie, take it one day at a time and surrender to whatever presents every day, every moment. If one moment you're fine, cool, enjoy being fine. If one moment you just want to fall on the floor and cry, surrender to that. Surrender is the allowing of whatever is presenting or happening in each moment and the willingness to go into that fully, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's inconvenient. And that's happened to me with relationship breakups in the past too, where I've wanted to be over it. I'm like, can't we just be over this thing already? But if it's still rising in my body, if it's still coming into my consciousness, then it still needs to be honored as part of my process. So I feel to say that to you. And I've done this in periods of pain and relationship breakup and death. We want to do it. We want to jump out of it. We're like, what affirmation can I do to pull me out of this feeling? What how-to process can I follow to no longer have to feel my pain? There's no answer to that other than you feel your pain. You keep feeling it for as long as you need to feel it. You know, maybe you want to listen to my podcast episode about my father's passing. It is about grief in any shape or form, not just death, the grief that comes from something ending. Beautiful, Emma. I'm glad that really resonated with you. I talk about in that podcast the balance between needing to deeply honor what was arising while also knowing that at some points I did just need to dust myself off and get on with my life and bring in some positive practices, some routines, some structure to help me move forward. And I have a feeling for this woman that you're already doing that because I know you are getting on with work and things like that. So when it comes to the surrender piece, you really just keep letting yourself feeling whatever you feel. Like I still cry about my dad numerous times a week. And the minute the emotion hits me, I surrender to it completely and I will have a big cry. So that's what surrender is. You allow whatever needs to arise, whatever is presenting, whatever is going on. Surrender is allowing that, not judging or thinking about it. So that's my how-to. And you also might find it useful to listen to this week's class. And there's also another class that I talked about surrender and control in. I can't remember exactly what class it was. It was in module 2, maybe module 2, class 3. When you've asked here around affirmations, I do have some affirmations in that class that help with surrender, things that you can say to yourself. So maybe revisit that one as well. Where do I want to go next? Okay, question here about expansion and playing bigger, which is really perfect because I feel energetically we are coming into a big time of expansion. Is anyone else feeling that? I'm feeling these next few months are about us really stepping up. We've done a lot of deep processing work in 2017, a lot of work to prepare us for the next chapter of our lives. And I think we've got big. Oh, beautiful, Pat. I'm glad you're loving surrender. Yeah, and Emma, you know, oh, I'm the upgrades, Emma. Yeah. Surrender is, it's actually can be a really beautiful practice. I'm glad that you are learning how to embrace it because I talk about in this week's audio class, it takes so much courage and it is a game-changing practice. It is not weakness. It is not, you know, a negative quality at all. It takes so much courage and strength, and it's the willingness to let life be a bit messy sometimes, because life is fucking messy, and that we've got to be okay with that. Let's stop trying to make things perfect and fit in boxes, you know. So growth is messy, and I want to talk about this woman's question that's really cool. She said, I feel scared because sometimes when I want to take bigger risks in life and live a bigger life, I feel scared and I just want to retreat back to what's comfortable. I love this question because I can relate to this so much. She's like, I've been manifesting change for the past couple of years and now I'm at the point where I need to make the changes, you know, find the new apartment, move to the new city, get the new job, and it's not easy. She said it's not that it's not flowing, but it is taking a lot of work and I'm hesitant to really put so much work into it. I'm starting to question why I wanted that change in the first place, and I'm starting to fantasize about my small, easy life. Like, can I just go back to my small, easy life, you know? And she's like, I want to hear your thoughts around how do we deal with the emotions that arise when this change that we have been asking for and wanting and preparing for, when it finally starts to happen. She's like, how do I deal with the change when it's no longer just about writing intentions in your diary, but actually showing up for what you have asked for? Oh, it's such a good question. Such a good question. And she's just saying she's really scared and almost scared to enjoy the next part of the journey. I can relate to this so much. You know, this has manifested a lot in my business personally, where there have been so many times I've wanted to step out of my business because it's hard, and where all the things that I work on, they're great when I work on them in my journal, but then they present, you know, like a speaking opportunity, an opportunity to be featured in a magazine, an opportunity to work with a high profile client. And all of a sudden I'm like, do I really have to do this? Can't I just go back to hiding and being small? And that is sometimes why I've kept myself small, because you know that when you really start to put yourself out there, bigger opportunities come, you become more visible, you get asked to step into new challenges. I've had to move through that around this apartment. My mind keeps telling me, this is so excessive, Connie, why do you have this apartment? You don't need it. And it would be much easier if you were just in a smaller place, but that's not the path of expansion. And I made a decision. I remember writing about this a few years ago, and I made a very clear decision. You have to choose. Do you want the path of comfort or do you want the path of growth? You can't have both. You can enjoy the path of growth. You can have pleasure and you can have an element of comfort, but you can't have both. If you really want the path of comfort, then you will miss out on growth. If you really want the path of growth, you will need to sacrifice comfort. And that is a choice that you need to make in your life. That's the first point. And I remember there was a few years ago, I decided that running my business was too hard. And just watch the inner dialogue. Like, I began to witness what my mind would say. Its favorite story was, this is too hard. And when I would hear the story, this is too hard, I would want to step out and back away and go back to my little easy life where things were small and manageable. So I went and applied for jobs. I thought, I'm going to go get a day job. This whole business thing, it's too hard because it asks me every day to step outside my comfort zone, and I don't want to do that anymore. So I went through the process of applying for jobs and stepping out of my business. Hey, Naomi! Love seeing you here. So I went through the process of applying for jobs thinking I just want the comfortable life. And oh my God, like it was like I was dying. I would sit in these job interviews and my soul was dying. It almost felt like I was, I can't even describe how painful it was. I would come out of them and I would cry. And that was my experience. And sometimes you need to go back to dabbling in the small life just to really have the very personal, tangible experience to get clear on what you really want. And it was through that I felt what it feels like to sacrifice and compromise and settle. And I realized I can't do that. So I've gone now back full into my business, and it's uncomfortable. It challenges me every day, but it is the path of growth, and that's what I'm committed to. So what you do is you witness any mental story. What are the key stories your ego says? Like I said, for me, it's too hard. It may say that to you. This is too uncomfortable. This is too much hard work. This is too scary. Notice the stories. I feel the pullback. I feel the contraction in my body. I notice when my body wants to shut down and go back to hiding. It actually happened after I launched Slow Down and Tune In. That was a big period of expansion for me and having to really be very present online. And I kind of retracted after that. I dropped a bit off social media and I almost needed to like pull back, and I felt uncomfortable with the level of exposure I had created. So if that happens, honor that. There is expansion and contraction. And if you need to put in a lot of, you know, when you're in a period of expansion, you need practices in your life that create comfort. You don't want comfort through playing small. You want comfort through self-care and self-love. So when I'm in a big period of expansion, I need comfort like hot baths. I need comfort like massages. I need comfort like yummy food sometimes. I need comfort in the form of comfy clothes and getting pampered and lots of sleep. So you will need to find ways to comfort and support and nurture yourself through the growing pains. It's growing pains. Let's really look at it that way. You're in the growing pains phase. So ask yourself, if you commit to the path of growth and you realize that will mean sacrificing comfort to some extent, you need to start to ask yourself, what do I need to set up in my life so that I can feel nurtured, supported, comforted, taken care of through the discomfort of my phase of growth? And if you can set those things up, if you honor, just honor all the emotions. Like whenever I'm expanding, guys, I'm emotional all the time. I cry, I scream, I'm like, this is too fucking hard. I don't want to do this. I don't want to post on social media. I let myself have little tantrums all the time. But then I remind myself of my intention. Yeah, and thanks, Pat. I'm glad that resonates. And I go back. Oh, okay, I just saw your question. Love you, Naomi. I love you too. Thanks for being here. And I go back. So I let myself have the tanty. There is a part of myself that chucks a massive tantrum when I have to expand. But then I go back to my intention and I ask myself what I need. How can I support myself through this period of discomfort and growth? You know, and sometimes it's talking out to someone, sometimes it's hiring a coach or a mentor, sometimes it's having an energy healing session, sometimes it's getting a massage, sometimes it's going for a swim in the ocean. You know, we just support ourselves through the phase of growth. So Pat's question was, what do you do with the voice that calls you out as a fraud? I get that voice all the time, still, constantly. But you've learned a lot of practices through this course around how do we witness the story, how do we witness the dialogue? And then we see it and we say, okay, if I choose to believe the story that tells me I'm a fraud, one, how do I feel? And two, where is that going to take me? Well, that's going to take me down the path of wanting to shut down, give up, hide away, not show up. Okay, that's one option. I can follow that path if I want. But if I was to tune in for a different perspective, what does my higher self say to me about this instead? What is my heart telling me? What is that voice that wants to see me step into my potential? What does that say to me? And usually that voice will, around the fraud thing, will just say something really, really simple, like, just share yourself. You don't have to be anyone. You don't have to prove anything. Just share yourself. Just share your life experience. Share your ideas. And usually with the fraud thing, it sometimes shows up when we know in ourselves we're not living in integrity or alignment with how we're being called to live. So, for example, if I know I'm not taking good care of myself and I have to show up and teach a class about self-care, I'll feel like a bit of a fraud. So my guidance will say to me, Connie, this is just a reminder. Really make sure you're living what you're teaching. It's just a reminder. My loving inner wisdom says, just make sure you keep practicing, get in the trenches of your own life so that when you do show up, you feel like you are a real true role model of what you stand for. So it will just lovingly encourage me to really live in integrity with what I believe in. But it will also remind me that if I have the energy moving through me to share something, then I need to honor that. And that's my purpose, is not to be anyone, but just to honor and express whatever energy wants to move through me. I'm just the channel for that. It's not about me. So the ego makes it about itself. Soul says, no, you're just the vehicle to express whatever energy is moving through you. Which, Pat, actually, it does tie into a question you mentioned in the Facebook group, which I did look at here about, you know, when you're sharing your creativity. And a lot of us are creative. I'm a creative. A lot of us have messages, ideas, businesses, things we want to share with the world, teachings, philosophies, all of that. And there was a question here around, you know, you were saying you write fiction novels, but this could be about anything that you write or create or do. And she's saying, as I'm drifting into the story, I find myself having to make decisions about where the story's going. And when I'm doing that, my ego comes in and I become paralyzed. You know, this happens to me. This has happened to me through the entire journey of writing Slow Down and Tune In. Every single time I sit down to write you guys a class, I have two voices in my head. I feel the energy of spirit moving through me saying, this is what this week's class is about. The whole time I'm writing it, the whole time I'm recording it, ego's there being like, this is shit. This is too much. They're not going to like this. This is too simple. This is too complicated. You've already covered this. Well, this won't be valuable. Like, that voice is there with me, like chipper chatting on my shoulder all the time. And Elizabeth Gilbert talks about this. Maybe if you haven't read Big Magic, she talks a lot about the creative process. She's a writer, obviously. It might be a great book to read. And she talks about how fear can come along with her on the ride of creating whatever she's creating, but it sits in the back seat. It's not driving the car. So fear will be there. Fear, ego, criticism, negativity will be there, but it sits in the back seat. And so every time I'm creating something, you need to be able to feel the difference between when you're channeling your creativity, which is when you're in the flow, you know, when you're creating something and it's just moving through you. Doesn't matter what you're creating. Even when you're speaking, like here, right? I'm just, boom, it just flows through me. I'm not even planning anything or thinking about anything. It just flows. But at the same time, you'll hear the chitter chatter of the ego. And if you can recognize the difference between those two energies, and if you can notice the reason you get paralyzed is you've bought into the ego's storyline in that moment. And that's, I know when I get stuck is when I go, oh, what the ego is saying. Oh, let me put some energy into that and think about that. Yes, maybe it's right. Yeah. And then I put energy into it and then it paralyzes me. Like if I let it, because I can hear the voice, it's here now. If I stopped right now and began to listen to what my ego was telling me and put some energy into it, I would completely lose my flow. And I would probably be like, oh, what have I even covered in this call? This is really shit, right? So you have a choice whether you're going to put energy into it or not. And I think what your practice will be is if that happens, take a break. Maybe that's your chance to step away from whatever you're working on. Do something to shift up your energy state. Have a cup of tea, go for a walk, do a little bit of stretching, put some music on, and bring yourself back into alignment with the flow. Find the flow energy again. Find your heart, find your inner wisdom, find the guidance, find the creativity. If you know yourself well enough, and I feel like you do, you will know what helps you plug back into the flow. And for me, sometimes it's just putting my hand on my heart and remembering my intention, which is to serve. My intention is to serve and support and honor the energy that's flowing through me. And add value. And when I remember that, I'm like, that's when I hear, just keep going, Connie, just keep going, just keep sharing. And it's not about whether it's right or wrong or good enough or not. It's just about me trusting whatever's flowing through me and honoring that. So if you can bring yourself back into alignment with that, you might be able to break through the chitter chatter. All right, beautiful. We're making great progress with these questions. Got a couple of others. Where am I going to go now? Yeah, beautiful question about, hang on, actually. I want to touch on this one about spiritual awakening, and then I've got a couple on relationships. Really good question here around this woman asking about spiritual awakening. And she said she had a spiritual awakening about 7 years ago. And at the time, it felt to her as though the doors were being thrown wide open. And she began to feel everything, previous lives, present time, healing old wounds, working with the shadow, seeing elements of my illusory self, like the ego self, felt like the volume had been turned on and up. Yeah. And then she sort of asked, I'm just not clear what a spiritual awakening is. What does it actually mean? And how does it relate to where you were previously? And she says it's continuously evolving, expanding in a myriad of ways. I just thought this was a really interesting question, and it's a question that I just want to dive into. I mean, it's kind of one of those bigger, broader spiritual questions, but I love answering these. What is a spiritual awakening? You know, I remember that we have two aspects to ourselves. Human self, soul self. Soul self, spiritual self, your true self is already awake, is already expanded, is already everything. It's everything. It's the entire universe. It is infinite possibilities. It is all-knowing. It's everything, right? And I want you to think of it as like as vast and as expansive as the universe, like completely infinite. And the reason being a human is so limited is because we don't have, at the moment, we can't fathom or experience all of that. We don't have the level of consciousness at the moment. And that's why people say we are only using a small percentage of our brain, and we're, most of us are living in quite an unconscious way. We're not conscious of and aware of everything that our soul self can see, which it can see vibration, it can see energy, it can feel and know everything at all times. It can shift into parallel realities. But as our human self, because we've got so many limitations in our thinking, in our perceptions, in our belief systems, in what we've learned about the world, we just see physical. We just see that's a glass. Whereas soul self sees that's just vibrating energy. And that energy is connected to the energy that's even in between here, that's connected to the lamp and the computer, and it's all just one energy, one massive vibration. So when we go on a spiritual awakening, we as our human self are expanding our consciousness to become more aware of our soul self. So it's like you might start off with your consciousness kind of being this big. So you can only see kind of that much. And when you're only seeing that much, you might just see, yeah, physical objects. I'm a human. That's my life. As you expand and say your consciousness kind of expands, you have an aha moment. Your mind opens. You awaken. You shift your perception in some way. Your ability to perceive what the soul perceives expands. And maybe your consciousness is kind of now this big. So you can start to see more. Maybe you start to see auras around things. Like I can see white auras around everything. I can see when I look at a physical object, I can actually see energy vibrating. And that's because I've expanded more and more of my consciousness to be able to see things the way my soul self sees them. And that's just your process of breaking down all your human limitations, challenging your human perceptions, getting to know your spiritual self, and then your mind opens and expands. That's what I see a spiritual awakening as being. And that's why it's a continual evolving process, because, I mean, and actually sometimes it can shrink back. Not that you can never go backwards, but you can, if you bring on more mental limitations again, or you stop practicing all your conscious practices, you can begin to see just like the human sees again, or you can open up your mind and you can see how the soul sees. That's how I describe it. And the more that you learn, read books, you know, I watch documentaries on, you know, things like What the Bleep Do We Know, which is all about quantum physics. That expanded. I went through a massive spiritual awakening after watching that movie. Like my whole perception of the world changed. It was like I was on the Truman Show, and it was like I could see that every person in my life was just an actor. They weren't even real. And it was like I could see that reality was just a projector screen. It wasn't reality. It was just like images being projected that were just energy. It was weird. Like I fully freaked out. But that was the thing, right? My mind expanded in that moment, and I saw the world more through the perspective of Source rather than the perspective of Connie. That's how I describe a spiritual awakening. I hope that's insightful for you. I hope that's helpful. All right. Also a question here about relationship. I've got a couple about relating to other people. And this woman's having this experience where she's got friends who are sharing with her how spiritual and gifted they are, and that they're sort of downloading information about her when they spend time with her. And they'll often say, without any invitation, I just want to pass on this message. I'm picking up this or that about you, and I'm gonna pass this on to you. So they're sort of having intuitive downloads. To her, she says it doesn't feel genuine or authentic. It feels like a performance. And she feels that it relates to her chakra 3, which is power center, boundaries. And so she's done beautiful energy work, she's saying, by putting her hand on her chakra 3, connecting with the essence of shielding and silently affirming that this is my energy field and I'm not inviting their energy in. So for anyone who is having, let's make it a bit broader, boundary issues with people, people projecting their energy onto you, people impacting your energy in a way or taking your energy, I love what this woman has shared about putting your hands or even just putting your attention on your third chakra, which is your power center and your solar plexus, just above your belly button, sort of in between your ribs and your belly button. Am I right? That's where it is? Yeah, I think your second chakra is just below your belly button and your third's kind of above it. And really just imagining a shield there, an energetic protection and a barrier to really show, to set the intention that energy can't flow in or be taken. What I feel when I was reading your question, there's actually two components to the power center, because I think the power center and the throat chakra are quite linked. First phase of working with the power center, in my opinion, is this boundary, this energetic boundary work. I think the second phase is when we actually then communicate and express or put in place a boundary through expressing it. I feel like that's almost like the next level. Like think about any experience in your life where you're practicing a boundary. On one level, the first step is to implement that boundary energetically. The more challenging practice in the second part is when you have to say to someone, you know, this is my boundary, or this is okay or not okay for me, or no, I'm not going to do that. And that's bringing the energy of the power center out through the throat chakra. So my feeling, and I, you know, this may or may not resonate, but my feeling was maybe now it's about actually saying something. And not saying something in a negative or aggressive or, you know, any way. Speaking, I mean, because the energy of the power center, right, rises from the power center up through the heart. So it's going to be infused with the energy of love out through the throat chakra. That's how we express our truth. Power center, through the heart, unconditional love, throat chakra. And you infuse it with love, and love of yourself and love of these people. But just tune in to see if you do feel you want to say something, which you could just simply say in the way you'd want to say it, but I'd really appreciate it if you didn't share those insights with me anymore. I just would rather not know what you pick up on. And if you pick up on it, if you could just keep it to yourself, that would be great. However you want to say it. But if this is something that really bothers you, and we've got to remember this, that we are allowed to tell people if something doesn't feel good to us. We're allowed to ask people to not do something if it doesn't feel good. So maybe the next step is the conversation of just saying, really grateful, love you, really grateful for the fact that you're picking up on this information, but it's just not something that I want to hear or want to know. You know, for example, if I was, because these people sometimes do it without realizing. I probably maybe share coaching guidance with my friends without realizing. And until you tell that person, they're not going to know they're doing it. And they're probably well-meaning. But if one of my friends came to me and said, Con, so grateful for your wisdom, but I just really would rather you don't share coaching guidance with me when we're just having a chat, I would be like, oh, whoa, okay, boom. That's a clear boundary. That person has stood in their power and told me something that doesn't feel good to them, and now I honor that. So there's something very powerful about willing to have a conversation, just express your truth and say what does or doesn't feel good to you. I mean, how else will people really know? Maybe they feel like they're doing the right thing. And until we express our truth, people won't know. I think conversation is a very, very important part of living in your power and being willing to say things that you're concerned might upset or hurt people because they're your truth. Just feel into that and just notice if having a conversation would be useful. Another question here around Connie, do you think that being empathetic affects the way you interact with others in conversations? Yes, absolutely. I would say most people in this course and most people here would identify with being an empath to some extent, meaning that you can feel and sense what other people are feeling. You can sense very acutely if someone else is upset, if someone else is got something on their mind, if someone's reacting, if someone's upset at you, you can see it. And that's the challenge with being empathic, is that without realizing, we are taking on board other people's feelings because we can often feel in our body what they're feeling, or we are making it mean something about us. And I think that's the biggest thing I see in sensitive people that I work with in my coaching practice. I'll get to you in 1 second, Holly. I'll just finish my sentence because I get distracted by the comments. I see it in children who are sensitive, is that we've grown up environments where we can sense and feel what our parents are going through, and we're taking it on board and making it mean something about us. So it absolutely does impact your interactions. It impacts my relationships in a couple of ways. One, I can feel what other people are going through, and that's a challenge in that things, I guess, how would I say that's a challenge for me? I don't know. It can get me more caught up in, it can pull me out of my power now that I think about it, because my attention's more on them than on me, and it can lead to people-pleasing behaviors. Because if we feel like someone else isn't happy, we're like, oh, well, what can I do to make them feel better in this moment? And then it also relates to, it's big for me in that my job is to read people. So I've learned now, just through years of practice, to read body language like that. I pick up on everything without intending to, the way someone's eyes move, if a little something washes across their face, a certain thought, if their body changes, I pick up on everything. And with my friends sometimes, it really affects me. If I've said something and I watch something go on in them, I immediately go, oh my God, I've said the wrong thing. I've done the wrong thing. Was that too much? Was that wrong? Have I upset them? It happens to me all the time because I can constantly see and feel how someone's responded to me. So yes, the way that I handle that is I actually don't try to turn off that ability because it's just a natural part of who I am. And what I do notice is people who are very sensitive and empathic, they actually shut down. We talked about this in the heart energy class, which we shut down our heart and our energy field. And I don't suggest that. Instead, what I've learned to notice is one, what is their stuff and what is my stuff? I've really had to step back in those moments and just ask, is what I'm feeling them or me? That's a self-awareness practice to develop. And then to also notice when I hear the story that says you've upset them, you've done something wrong, they're not happy with you. The place that I've got to with that is where I've actually made it okay for people to not like me or people to be upset at me or people to have a reaction to me. It actually no longer bothers me. Now, that's a real growth journey where, and it happens to me all the time. I'm thinking about so many examples at the moment where I go, okay, if that person had a reaction to me, so what? It doesn't mean I did anything wrong. Most likely when you're living in your truth, you'll trigger people. When you're fully being yourself, you will trigger people because you're not being toned down and meek. So I've just kind of been like, I just trust that if that person gets triggered by me, they can be triggered by me. I actually don't care anymore. And if they're truly my friend, they're still going to love me even though they're a bit triggered by me because we all have flaws. We all have weaknesses. A lot of people in my life trigger me and I go, ugh. And then I go, oh, well, I still love you. It doesn't matter. So I watch. Yeah, that's the big thing, Carol, is that's the growth part of this is you've got to let it be okay for people to not like you. Like that was when I learned how to do that, which was just simply like feeling the sting of being like, oh, I think that person doesn't like me. And letting that just like, okay, like feel the pain and discomfort of that and then be like, oh, well, I personally have chosen I would rather be free. I would rather be fully self-expressed. I would rather be fully me than be liked. And you just got to get in the trenches and practice that. You just got to be more and more you and know that people will fall away if they don't like the real you. And just let it sit and feel it. Just feel the sting of that. Like, oh, I can tell that person's unhappy at me, or I can tell that person's thinking. Because the problem is, we can feel it, can't we? We can feel the fact that they might be thinking something negative about us. I've often felt that with my group of girlfriends, where I'm like, they're talking about me right now. Like, I can feel it. They're bitching about me. I know they are. And I've just had to sit and feel the pain of that, the discomfort of that, and then be like, so be it. So be it. Yeah, you do feel it, hon. I know you do. And that's where we've got to become resilient in life. Even though we're sensitive, we've also got to learn how to be resilient. Because with family, it's big. Like, it's got to be okay. Disappoint your family. Have them be upset at you. Have them not like you. If it's true unconditional love, they will still be there. This is how you discover who your real friends are. I've had a lot of people leave my life as I've become more and more the real me, but I've had a lot more new people come in who love the real me. So you just feel the sting of that, and then you just love yourself. And I often say to myself, yeah, but Con, I'm so proud of you. You were really you in that moment. And I ask myself, I'm like, was that my truth? What I said or did that feel like my truth? And I'm like, you know what? It did. So trust, you're exactly right, Carol. You've got to trust yourself. You've got to trust that if you feel to do or say something, that it's your truth, and you've got to stand behind that and not question yourself just because someone else gets triggered or someone else has a reaction. It's not your job to make them happy. It's not your job to tone down and modify yourself so that you don't trigger other people. Let them be triggered. We come together in relationship, whatever relationship it is, to push each other's buttons. We're not all here to play nicey nice. We're all here to shit each other off and push each other buttons. It's how we grow. It's how we learn about ourselves. It's hard. But the choice is, as long as I'm happy with me and I love me and I love who I'm being, then that's my work. That's my job. And that's where I got to with it. And I'm at a point where I'm like, I'd rather polarize people. I'd rather have a bunch of people not like me and a bunch of people love me than everyone kind of like me. It requires a lot of self-confidence, but it's possible. You just got to keep practicing it and feel the discomfort of it and then just keep stretching into it. The question earlier was about, I need this discussion about boundaries. I like the idea of the solar plexus protection exercise. If you feel like you've taken on someone's energy, yeah, how do you clear it? My kinesiologist, she often says to me, say, return to sender. And she gets me to do this like energetic thing where it's almost like you imagine pulling the energy out of you and throwing it back and saying, return to sender, this is not mine. Like you just almost say it like an affirmation. This is not my energy. I am sending this energy back to you. Return to sender, this is not mine. And when you really, actually it's interesting, it's got goosebumps through my body. My kinesiologist gets me to do that quite a bit, like stand in your power, put your hand on your power center, and stand at home, imagine that person, and just like imagine you're pulling the energy out of your body and sending it back quite fiercely. And my kinesiologist gets me to yell it, like, this is not my energy, return to sender, I'm removing this from my body, I'm sending it back to you, this is not mine, this is not mine, this is not mine. And then just deep breath, imagine a big golden light of protective energy coming in around you, and just keep tuning into your body. There's any remnants of them, send it back, return to sender, this is not my energy, I send this back to you. And just be really fierce about that as you're saying it as an affirmation. And it really works. I can feel very much almost like the reason I get goosebumps is I can feel the energy moving out of my body as I'm sending it back to them. So that might be something to try. Yeah, and absolutely, Carol, the choice around comfort versus growth. Thank you for linking that, 100%. Comfort versus growth ties into everything. It is way more comfortable to tone yourself down and blend in and be meek and mild and make other people happy. The growth step is, you know, and this is why you've created the family dynamic that you have, because one of your big lessons in this lifetime is to learn this. So you've created a family dynamic because everything's intentional, isn't it? Where you've set it up so that people will have a reaction if you be the real you. So they're your teachers. They're playing a role for you to help you learn this lesson. And so we miss out on the growth lesson, don't we, when we shy away from it because it's uncomfortable versus stepping into it because we know there's growth there for us. And growth is always uncomfortable. So when you find the step that feels the most uncomfortable, it's the step of most growth. Not easy. All right, a couple more questions and then we're finished, my loves. Where am I at? Beautiful question here. As Slow Down and Tune In is coming to an end, what guidance do you have around implementing these practices after the course and moving forward? Let me just have some water. Part of our final class, so the class that will be coming out next week, is actually about that. I'm going to talk a little bit about the moving forward beyond the course, and a few key practices that keep you really in your power and living as a conscious creator. I have taught you a shit ton of stuff in this course. Like, I know I've given you a lot, and for some of you it's probably been quite overwhelming. I would go back to a lot of the simplicity of foundational practices. Hang on, I'll just Yeah, beautiful, Holly. I'm glad. Give that a try. That's a real powerful energy clearing practice. And the reason it's powerful, again, like I touched on before, is you're using power center, heart center, throat chakra. So actually really saying it out loud, it really clears those centers of your body. And they're usually the places, throat, heart, and solar plexus are usually the places that we're taking on other people's energy. So when you really stand in your power, like speak deep from your power. Speak right up through your heart from love and like boom it out through your throat and use your body to like send it back. When you're really working with the body like that, you'll clear energy. Really feel into your body. Where am I holding this other person's energy and whose energy is it? Where am I holding it in my body? And when you identify it, you might almost imagine like pulling it out, sending it back to them, and keep doing it until you feel your energy is clear. And then maybe calling some white light energy into that part of your body and infusing it with love light energy to clear it could be nice as well. So moving forward, I think the foundational practices are the best ones to keep you moving forward. The simplicity of I want you guys focusing on rituals and self-care. Whatever it is that you've taken from this course that has really helped you, in terms of whether it's journaling, meditation, a morning ritual, self-care, I want you to have a few foundational practices that really get you feeling grounded, get you feeling connected to yourself. I think that's the main thing, is I want you to move forward with practices that feel like they get you connected to you and get you in your body, get you grounded, get you feeling good. Get you feeling good when you're in a funk. I want you to have a toolkit of things that you can use when the ego comes in, when you get in a funk, when something tries to derail you. How do you bring yourself back? And I'll probably talk about this in next week's class, actually, as a bit of a practice we'll set up moving forward. I also think the practices around mindfulness are really important moving forward. I want you to have self-awareness. That's my second most powerful thing for you guys to have, is I want you to have new levels of self-awareness where you can now witness your ego and you can choose again when it plays out. I think that's one of the most important things. So I would say it's foundational practices, and it's the self-awareness and the mindfulness and the ability to recalibrate to love when fear comes in, the ability to find your heart again, the ability to find your inner guidance, the ability to nurture and nourish yourself, the ability to find a different train of thinking, shift your perspective around whatever situation is challenging you. I think they're the main things I'd love you guys to focus on moving forward. But also, you might have a chance after this course to sit down and review some stuff, and I want you just to find, you know, some of this stuff in this course may not have resonated. Leave it. Notice what jumps out at you, what really feels like, yeah, that's one I want to add in my toolkit. That's one that felt good to me, and I'm going to keep practicing that. She also said here, I love the vibration journaling exercise. Was that in the journaling guide? Oh, actually, I have an update for you guys about that in a second. Do you have any additional practices to this exercise to raise your vibration? Interestingly, I wonder also, was that about the moving up the emotional guidance scale? Because that could work really well. If you know, it's all about just knowing what raises your vibration. It's all about knowing in yourself what gets you feeling good and making time for that. And I think I teach you in the moving up the vibrational scale class to check in with, where is my energy at? Am I sitting at a 5? Am I sitting at a 2? Am I sitting at boredom? Am I sitting at lethargy? Am I sitting at pessimism? Where am I at? Where do I want to be, and what will help me get there? So that's raising vibration, is about paying attention to how you feel and knowing what the practices are that raise your vibration. Anything that's movement-based gets your energy high vibing. You know, for me, it's my whole desk at the moment I've set up in a high vibe way. I've got flowers, crystals, candles, essential oils, affirmation cards. My whole desk is like high vibe. I've got crystals and things on a little shelf above me as well. So it's about knowing what really helps you lift your vibration and then filling your life with that stuff. And, you know, I know that, for example, me getting down to the beach at 6 a.m. at the moment really raises my vibration. So I make time for that every day. I know that at the moment making my daily green juice really raises my vibration. So that's a priority for me at the moment. I think it's about knowing what raises your vibration and then using those practices every day. But yeah, things like journaling and gratitude and appreciation, focusing on the positive aspects rather than the negative aspects, making time for play and joy rather than just work. You know, they're some of the key things that really help. I also, the next online course that I'm creating, which is going to be like sort of an add-on to Slow Down and Tune In, but also a separate course in itself, is actually all kind of about that. My next course is about conscious living, intentions, alignment, manifestation, expansion, raising your vibration. What about, how haven't I said here? Like energetic laws of the universe. It's all the, like the how do we manifest and live as an abundant creator and amp up our lives and take everything to the whole frickin' next level and really consciously manifest and create the life that we want to live in. That's my next online course that's bubbling away. So that will have a lot more work around vibrational stuff, the law of vibration, really understanding how we can shift into new realities and how we can manifest stuff like that by working with our energy. Final note on that, I want to let you guys know, so you all got the Turn Inwards Journaling Guide as a bonus with this course, but it's had a makeover. I'm in the process of getting it made over and it looks so much better. It looks really beautiful. So you guys are going to get a copy of that when it comes out. You'll get a free copy of the new version, which will hopefully be coming out in the next couple of weeks. I'm excited to share that. Final question. Do you have any quick self-love practices that you can use in any moment to shift out of a bad headspace if you're at work or with friends? I feel like I always say the same things because I'm just referring to what works really well for me. Breath, deep breaths, stepping away from the situation, taking 5 deep breaths is enough to recenter you, and getting outdoors or nature or movement, a 5-minute walk around the block. They're two things that can really shift your state if something's triggered you. Just your breath or a little bit of walking and movement, a little bit of fresh air. I think those things really, really help. You know, again, it's even as simple as me having one of my essential oil sprays, giving my face a little spray, just little things that will just help me shift my energy very quickly in that moment where I can shift out of maybe a reactive negative space and just come into something that feels a bit more aligned with love. Quick self-love practices that you can use in any moment to shift out of a bad headspace. I also do quite a bit of just hand on the heart. If you can go into the toilet at work, hand on your heart, and I just ask my heart, can you give me some guidance around the situation? What do I need to know? What can I do? How can I see this differently? 5 deep breaths into the heart, hand behind the heart, and hand on the heart and attention behind the heart. Whoops. And just breathing in and asking your heart for a little bit of guidance around the situation. That's something that I often do that's pretty quick. All right, my loves. Woo, almost bang on an hour. Go me. It has been beautiful to talk to you. I think this morning slot has been better. I've had a lot more interaction. I love having you guys live on the call. So thank you to everyone who's been here with me live today. And for anyone watching the replay, I hope this is supportive for you. We have class coming out this week on surrender. Thank you, Carol. I love you. Sending you lots of love. Class coming out this week on surrender. Class coming out next week around kind of like I was going to talk about creating ongoing change, how we move forward, how we really live in our power moving forward from the course. And then our final live call, and that's it for this round of the course. The course will be most likely running again next year, early next year, and you guys will all be able to participate again. I also am going to be sending out some feedback forms once we wrap up here, because there's a few changes I feel called to make to the course and how it was structured, but I would love to hear your feedback. Be as honest as you want with me. I want to design this course in a way that it's very effective and supportive and accessible and useful. So as you're moving through, just think about anything that you would want to share with me, so when I'm sending out feedback forms, you guys can give me some feedback. Thank you for being here. Have a beautiful couple of weeks, and I'll talk to you all soon. Bye.